This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with me, Lynn Mark, and as well as Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. In the meantime, you know, a lot of attention has been given to vaccination programs, particularly yesterday in Parliament. Vaccine Minister Khairi Jamaluddin said that we still have a long way to go to immunise 80% of Malaysians, particularly since registration rates for the National Immunisation Programme still stand at around 61%. There also remain pockets of society that have yet to be vaccinated, including approximately 70,000 prisoners in jail. Now, this is particularly a point of concern since prison clusters have been on the rise.
Yes, so the Orang Asli Department of Perak and Kedah have a separate target to administer at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine to around 42,000 Orang Aslis in Perak by the end of this year. All this in contrast to what Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin said before about Malaysia fully vaccinating all adults in Malaysia by October.
So is our immunisation programme heading in the right direction? For some thoughts on this, we are speaking with Azrul Mohamed Khalib, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Azrul, thank you so much for joining us today. So Vaccine Minister Khairi Jamaluddin has said that the registration rate for the National Immunisation Programme still hovering in the early 60%. What should the government be focusing on in order to increase this number?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. You know, at some point, the registration levels and even the vaccination will reach a plateau. There will be fewer people who will register to be vaccinated, and there will be fewer people who will get vaccinated. Every country has and will experience this. Where will this level be and when will we hit it? I don't know. And I don't think even the government knows at this point. We have those who are hesitant and those who are anti-vaccines, even among members of parliament, which we have just learned this past week. So why should the ordinary rakyat be any different? What it does tell us is that we need to do more education, provide more information, being afraid to answer questions and address doubts. We have to be pragmatic and accept the likelihood that there will be many who will not register, cannot register, or refuse to get vaccinated. And we need to reach out to these undecideds and even those who are anti-vaxxers, and we should not use the stick, threats or penalties or denial of services.
Yeah, Azrul, we've seen this across the world, right, where even though the vaccination rates at the very start are quick and we're seeing good progress, it eventually does slow down and plateau, which I guess gives rise to concerns over whether, the term herd immunity has been thrown out at this point, right? It's not something that that we can really achieve, but we do want to get as much of the population vaccinated. What are the implications if we do have a significant part of the population that isn't vaccinated, say 20, 30% of them?
Well, what will happen is that we'll see more cases amongst this group, because variants like Delta will seek out these vulnerable populations. And even though the majority of the population would have been vaccinated at some point, maybe 60 or 70%, those new cases will come out of those who are unvaccinated. And we'll see that. We've seen that in the UK, we've seen that in the US, and even in countries where there's a high rate of vaccination, there will be more cases, and the common profile is that they're unvaccinated.
I'm just looking at Khairi Jamaluddin's statement here. He highlighted that negotiations are ongoing for future vaccine procurement. I think they're looking into for next year as well. At the same time, I'm thinking we shouldn't jump the gun as vaccines are being improved to immunise against the variants. What should the priority be? Expediency or efficacy of the new booster shots?
Well, look, you know, the government has already been heavily criticised for being late and marching behind many other countries in the procurement of vaccines earlier on. I don't think it wants to be in that same position again on the issue of booster shots. So let's start planning now to secure them so that when you can start administrating the booster jabs, if the recommendation comes down that we need them, then we have them. But remember, the priority for the government is going to be about reopening the country, and that includes being able to ensure that as many people are safe and people feel safe and other people feel confident about this country too. So booster jabs, if it's going to be needed, hopefully we'll have them on standby.
So Azra, we know that there are also pockets of the population which have yet to be vaccinated, despite perhaps being at somewhat high risk. And one of those groups of people are prisoners. 70,000 of them have yet to be vaccinated. Why do you think there is a delay in vaccinating them, considering that we administer close to 500,000 doses a day at this point? And presumably the logistics for administering to prisoners would be somewhat easier.
I mean, really, you know, communities in detention, such as prisoners, are supposed to be low-hanging fruit. I mean, honestly, they should have been fully vaccinated by now. I'm quite shocked to discover that there continues to be outbreaks of disease amongst this group. They are, after all, a population which is literally confined to one location. They're not going anywhere. Yet they continue to be infected and remain unvaccinated largely. We don't know whether there have been prisoners or prison officers who have been admitted into critical or intensive care or have even died. So the government has a duty of care to those in detention to ensure that their well-being is safeguarded while they are under the responsibility of the state. They have rights, and this also includes those in immigration detention.
Speaking of these pockets, let's talk about Orang Asli as well, because Tan Sri Muhyiddin has set a target to fully vaccinating all adults by October, but JAKOA targets to administer one dose of vaccines to 42,000 Orang Asli in Perak by the end of the year. So a little bit of a discrepancy in that, I guess, those timelines there. Do you know what the current status of the vaccination program for the Orang Asli is?
Well, Roshan, you know, it's not likely that all adults in Malaysia are going to be fully vaccinated by October. We have to be pragmatic and realistic. There will be pockets of people, communities such as the Orang Asal and people living in remote areas of Kelantan, Pahang, Sabah, Sarawak, who will be delayed or even left behind due to the logistical and geographical challenges. I wish that was not the case and that we'll get everyone to everyone by October, but it's better to plan that we don't achieve that. It's better to do that rather than wishing it and setting impossible targets, because that does not make it so.
Well, in your opinion, what other gaps are there in our immunization delivery program?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're going to have to be prepared for is that even though we've been doing quite well so far, but experience, especially from last year, tells us that there is when the threat of complacency is at its highest, you know, COVID has come and bitten us in the behind before. We will see people being left behind, communities on the margins, unvaccinated and vulnerable to infections. This, as I mentioned just now, is where we will see new cases emerge in the future, despite a high proportion of the population already vaccinated. We can't afford to be complacent. We can't rest on our laurels with the kind of achievements that we've done so far. The UK, for example, is already experiencing this phenomenon, as well as the US, where they're seeing high numbers of new cases emerging from those who have been left out of the vaccination program. And we need to be prepared for this to happen, and it's never too early to do so.
Azra, we're running a poll on Twitter based on what the Health Director General, Dr. Tan Sri, Dr. Noor Hisham, and Kari Jamaluddin said, which is to look beyond the number of cases to measure the severity of the pandemic. And I'm pretty sure this is something we've discussed on the show with you in the past as well. What are the other indications we should be paying attention to, right? Because case numbers right now, I mean, they're in the double-digit thousands right now. They've been like that for a little while. But there are other more relative measures that we can use that are less absolute in nature. What are these measures and why should we be using them?
Well, you know, I agree with them. What we should be prioritizing right now is key indicators. The number of people being hospitalized, needing ventilator support, and the number of deaths. We've said this before. This is the same opinion and position recommended by several public health experts earlier this year. High daily positive numbers have always been anticipated, regardless of what the government has said in the past. This is a highly transmissible infectious disease, mostly asymptomatic in those who are positive. Most of reported cases, around 70-80%, now unlinked or sporadic in the community, not belonging to any cluster. So it is unfortunate that this recommendation comes out now, because it does look like it's seemingly trying to shift away the attention from those high numbers. But the fact is that vaccines have a direct effect on these indicators, on the number of people falling seriously ill, categories 3, 4, and 5, and needing hospitalization, and the number of deaths. we will see those numbers drop as the positive benefits of COVID-19 vaccination takes hold. And loved one is going to be the first place where we will see this happen. So it's important to be adaptable and to be a dynamic in the way we look at this disease, and most importantly, whether or not we're making progress, and we need to select the right indicators, as has been previously recommended, to be able to measure that progress.
Azrul, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Azrul Mohamed Khalib, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, giving us some insight into the progress of our national immunisation programme. Roshan, we've been running a poll that we asked Azrul about. Why don't you give us an update on that?
Yes, so 58% still say yes, 32% say no, 10% are not sure. And this is with regards to whether they agree whether we should be looking at different measures to determine the severity of the pandemic. A lot of it seems to point to a direction where I think Azrul pointed out as well, that the timing of this seems to indicate a shifting of goalposts and blame, possibly, right? But it's not something that's been not talked about before. There are more important metrics like hospitalizations, deaths in ICU, the number of people who are in category 3, 4, 5. Because category 1 and 2 is not really that big. That the biggest concern is the people in hospital, which then puts a burden on the frontliners. That, again, the focus needs to be on that.
Yes, and if we take a look at yesterday's cases very quickly, our category 1 and 2, so those who are asymptomatic and those who saw only mild symptoms, comprise more than 97% of the cases reported. That said, you know, it as he says, it's not the time for complacency. We must still maintain our SOPs. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.